Today in Sichas Aran, we spoke about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do the same thing twice. And we spoke about how that's true for our individual lives, how each person has a very specific mission. We learned the teaching from the Chedusha Harim, Emein Ani Li Mi Li, not only as a lesson of Chazal telling us about personal responsibility, but Emein Ani Li Mi Li in the simplest and truest spiritual sense, that if I'm not going to carry out my mission in this world, then Mi Li, there's no one who could do it for me. So Michal asked the obvious question, which is, okay, that's very nice, we're all on this personal mission, but how do you figure it out? And it's one of the scariest questions, especially in light of what we saw yesterday in Nesivos Shalom in Parshas Re'eh, where he quotes that a person could get to the Olam Ha'emes, and you have an encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem says, "Nu, so tell me, how'd you do? How'd your life work out for you? And you think you did a great job, and in truth, you find out that you spent your whole life trying to be something that you're not, and you failed to be true to your own neshama." So this is not a new shir, although I prepared it in a new way for today. Different thoughts of how a person could figure out what it is you're supposed to work on. Again, it would be convenient if, you know, when we're born, we came out with a little tag that said, this is your mission in this world. Unfortunately, we don't have that. So the question becomes, how does a person begin to figure out what his thing is in this world? What's your mission statement? What's your avoda? What's your tafkir? There's a medrash in Eicha Rabbah. The medrash says, it's on the pasuk, Darchei Tzion Avelus Mibli Ba'emoy. It's a beautiful medrash. Darchei Tzion Avelus, the roads of Tzion, the roads of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael, on the way to the Makom HaMikdash, Mibli Ba'emoy. It's in the first parak of Eicha. It's so sad to think about the fact that the streets that were once filled with Jews on their way, Aliyah L'Regel, coming to the Beis HaMikdash, the roads themselves are mourning. The streets are crying because what? Bli ba'emoid. Because no one's coming anymore. Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. There's not going to be travelers on the road. Right? There's a lack of ba'emoid, those who are coming for the moed. Says Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna hakol mevakshin tafkidan. Everything is seeking its purpose. Everything wants to be used in the way that it's meant to be used. What does that mean? Maisa v'kalva achas kofris, sha'olsa l'rosh ha'sela v'shimsha im zachar. One time there was a female dog, a stray female dog, who spotted a very handsome male dog on the top of some cliff, the top of some steep stone cliff or incline. And what did she do? When she spotted this dog, she said, "That's my mate. I want to be with that male dog." And she climbed this great mountain in order to be with that zachar. Right? So look how in the animal kingdom, in the animal world, right, even animals have a sense of belonging. I want to be, this is where I belong. That, right? You think, making shidduchim with dogs may be easier than making shidduchim with people, you would think. But no, the dog also has a sense of, that's my man, that's my guy. And she pursued him. She climbed up this big mountain in order to get to this zachar. Rabbi Ami Amar Afilu Arazim of Akshin Tafkidan. Not only is it true in the animal kingdom, but it's true in the world of plants and trees. What's an erez? A cedar tree. Afilu Arazim of Akshin Tafkidan. Even trees feel that they have a place in the world. And if they're not in their place, they feel like we're failing. You're still a beautiful tree. You're such a beautiful tree. It doesn't feel right. I don't belong here. Teida lacha shelo hayu arazim b'bavel. The erez tree was not found in Bavel. U'kisha'ala Nebuchadnezzar lekan tolash arazim mikan v'shoslan b'bavel. When Nebuchadnezzar, during the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, was destroying Eretz Yisrael and transplanting the Jewish people to Babel, he also took trees from Eretz Yisrael and moved them to Babel. They're nice trees, so he took them along. U'kishameis hayusmeichem al mapalaso. And when Nebuchadnezzar died, the trees rejoiced. You know why? They were so angry, Nebuchadnezzar, you took us away from our tafkid. Our tafkid was to be trees in Eretz Yisrael. And you sent us into exile. You sent us into Bavel. So even a tree feels a sense of purpose, of place, of belonging. And the tree is frustrated by not being in its place. As the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Gam Beroshim Samchu Lecha, Arzei Lebanon. Amar Rav Avdimi Demin Chaifa, says the Medrash, not only do animals have a tafkid, not only does a dog have a sense of belonging, not only, to a lesser extent, does an even less alive part of the Bria, trees, plants, have a sense of belonging. Says the Medrash, Amar Rav Avdimi Demin Chaifa, the last two lines, Afilu Jirachim Mevakshin Tafkidan. Even a dirt road, even the stones beneath our feet. You can see this Medrash is very clearly going through a progression. Right? Not only do animals have a sense of a tafkid, but even plants, even trees have a sense of a tafkid. Not only trees, but even what? Even rocks. Even literally the dirt of Yerushalayim has a tafkid. Afilu drachim mevakshin tafkidan. Even the street outside feels a sense of tafkid, a purpose, a mission statement. Ha dehu dechsiv, that's what the Pasuk is talking about in Eicha. That's why this Medrash appears in Eicha. Darche tzion avelos mibli bay moed. You know why the roads of Zion are crying, mourning? You know why? Because they're not achieving their tafkid. What do you mean? What's the tafkid of these roads? The tafkid of these roads is what? Is that the Ba'i Moe, that those who are coming, Aliyah L'Regel, to the Beis HaMikdash, should travel on these roads. Mi bli borganin, mi bli bolitin, ein ksivkan. On these roads. Nebuchadnezzar, we may not like him, but he was an important person. You look at Yerushalayim, you're a Kodesh today. There are many important world leaders and dignitaries, presidents and senators and leaders of foreign countries who travel on the streets of Yerushalayim. Sometimes they shut down all of Yerushalayim to let some of these people travel there. You would think that gives a lot of kavod, a lot of purpose to those streets. But you know what the streets say? If you listen carefully, if you put your ear to the ground, you know what the streets are really saying? We're so depressed. We don't care how chashuv the dignitaries are who travel on these roads. You know why? Because the road says, I have one purpose, and that's to bring Jews to the Beis HaMikdash, and if there's no Beis HaMikdash, then the roads are depressed. That's not my tafkid. It's not my tafkid. So it doesn't say that there's a lack of borganin or bolitin. Borganin or bolitin means, you know, chashuv people. Statesmen and dignitaries. That still happens. Till this day that happens in Yerushalayim. But the roads are still saying, nah, that's not it. That's not my purpose. My goal is to what? Is to bring Jews to Beis HaMikdash. Elam bibli bay moed. And until we have that, we don't really have anything. So I think it's very obvious to us in reading this type of medrash that if dogs have a tafkid, if cedar trees have a tafkid, if the stone and the dirt of the streets of Yerushalayim have a tafkid, right, then the medrash doesn't need to say the most obvious thing, which is what? A Jew with a chelak elokal mimal mamish, a Jew with a neshama, has a tafkid. And the same way that an animal feels lost if he's not achieving his mission, and a tree feels lost, if it's still serving as a beautiful tree in Bavel, it's not my place. If the road is not able to do what it's ideally meant to do, then it's failing. It feels a sense of failure. That's the amazing part. If it's not perfect, then it's just not it. And it feels it in a deep way. And as Jews with neshamas, we have to feel the same way. There should be a sense of longing that if I'm just going to be an okay version of who I'm supposed to be, then that should really bother me. I have to try to figure out what is the it? What is the thing that makes me me? What's the defining characteristic of my life? Okay, so let's talk about a few techniques to try to figure out. And again, I don't have any simple answers to this question. These are just a few things that I have found in Svarim, which are helpful to think about. How do I know if I'm being successful or not? You don't get a report card right before Rosh Hashanah on how you did last year. I mean, it's part of the report card is, do you survive from one year to the next? But that's a complicated sugya. It's not as simple as it sounds. Like, if you make it to Rosh Hashanah, that means that Hashem, it's complicated how the Yom HaDin works and Bechlal, how Aser Shemei Tshuva works. It's not as simple as that. Hitler, Yamach Shua, had some pretty bad years, and he still made it from one year to the next. So you understand that it's not that if you had a good year, then you get to live another year. It's not as simple as that, in terms of achieving one's goal for the year. There's a Kedushas Levi, actually, in this week's Parsha. Anyone have a Kedushas Levi here, by any chance? Kedushas Levi at the very end of this week's parsha, on the phrase, what's the pasuk? Keish ocheles. What's the lashon of the pasuk? Umari kvod Hashem keish ocheles. That's the pasuk. Umari kvod Hashem keish ocheles. So there's only two places I know that this question is answered in like a very direct way. One is the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel is right over there. Point to the Shem Yishmuel. I have a Kedush Levi. Great. So the Kedushas Levi, just remember, it's in this week's Parsha, that's why I'm sharing it. The very last piece in this week's Parsha. Umare kvod Hashem ke'esh ocheles. Kedushas Levi says, and there's a similar thing in the Shem Yishmuel, not in this week's Parsha. He says, Dinei ha'odom ba'avodasol Hashem yizbarach b'torah v'mitzvos mevi tanu gadol amala. When you do a good job being a Jew, so it makes Hashem very happy, it gives Hashem pleasure. Ukesha Adam wrote a leida im Hashem Yisbarach Yeshlo Tanug Me'avodasa. And if you want to know if Hashem is happy with you, how can you assess it? Habachina hu alze. Here's the test. This is Lefi Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev Zechusa Yagen Aleinu. How do you test yourself? How do you know if you're doing a good job in Avodas Hashem? Maybe I'm failing. Maybe I think I'm doing a good job. Habachina hu alze. Here's the litmus test. Im adam roa shalibo boer ka'esh u'mislahev tamid la'avoda so. Okay, very much Rafishi Tassam. Berditchever says, if you're on fire in your avodas Hashem, if you're dragging yourself to davening and it feels burdensome to you, you know who else it feels burdensome to? Hashem. Hashem says, that's not davening. If sitting and opening up a gemara to you feels like, ugh, like it's, you know, I'm not into it. So Hashem says, and I'm not so into your learning either. But if you're energized, and if you're excited, and if your heart is mamish on fire, he says, to serve Hashem, v'yeshol cheshek v'ratzon ba'avodas habore, oz bevaday muchach sh'Hashem yisbarach yeshol tanug me'avodasa. If you do it, then guess what? Hashem's into what you're into. Hashem's excited that you're excited about. He says, that's the pshat in the pasuk, umar e kvod Hashem. How do you know if you're displaying kvod Hashem? Says the pasuk ke'esh ocheles. If you're on fire for God, if you're on fire for Hashem, that's a good indication. Right? Again, may not be everything to figure out if you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. But if you're passionate about what you're doing, that's a good sign that Hashem is happy with you. Okay, very much what you would expect from the Kedushas Levi, who was literally on fire for Hashem. But what are some of the techniques that we could use to figure out what exactly I should be focusing on, right? Because I could be on fire for tefillah, and Hashem says, you were supposed to be more of a person of chesed. More chesed-oriented and less focused on tefillah. And you put a little too much time into your tefillah, and you didn't focus enough on the responsibility of gemilas chasadim. The world stands on Torah, avodah, and gemilas chasadim. Which pillar of the three do I emphasize in my personal life? Okay, so a few techniques. Number one. Number one comes from the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Sefer Yonah. There's a Gemara in Maseches Eiruvin. The Gemara in Eiruvin says in the first parak that there was a big debate between the world of Shammai and the world of Hillel. Is it better for a person to be created, or it's better to have not ever been created? The Gemara in Eiruvin on Daf Yud Gimel. What's the problem with that Gemara? The rabbis sat around. Gemara says for a long time debating. Some said better to be created, some said better not to be created. Sat around for a long time. Many shiurim, presentations, what?
I'm sorry, to not be created means what? Just to be?
Better to never have, better not to exist. Or should we be happy we're alive? Again, the Gemara's conclusion is once you're alive, you might as well make it work. Right? Yifashish b'maisav, be thoughtful, make a cheshbon and nefesh. But is it better to be here or is it better not to be here? The Gemara says that Shtei Shanamu Mechsa Nechlechu. I'm reading from the Gemara in Erevin. Shtei Shanamu Mechsa Nechlechu Beishamei Beishilo. Part of the Gemara is on the page in front of you. Just give me a second. Just listen for a second. For 2.5 years, Beishamei and Beishilo debated this question. Noach lo la'adam shalo nivra yoser mishanifra. Is it better not to have been created than to exist at all? And it was a machlokas. Halalu amru, Noach lo la'adam shalo nivra. Right? One opinion said, better not to exist than to exist. And v'halalu omrim, noach lo la'adam shenivra, yoser mishalo nivra. So finally, after 2.5 years, they took a vote. Nimnu v'gamru. Okay, it was finally time. Everyone had a chance to give an address, to give a shiur on the topic. All the opinions had been offered. And it was time to vote. Nimnu v'gamru. They assessed, what do people think now that it's all said and done? 2.5 years, a theological debate, right? A debate about life itself, right? Does God know what he's doing? Why did God create us? Is it good to exist? Is it better not to exist? You know what they voted? Nimnu v'gamru, they took a tally and they concluded, Noach lo la'adam shalo nivra yosem ishenevra. Better not to have been born. The odds are stacked against us. There are more things we can do wrong. 365 lo sase, 248 mitzvah sase. So in a simplistic way, you could say the odds are stacked against us. There's more averus that we can do than mitzvahs we can do. However, achshav shenivra, now that we exist, yifashrei shemaisav, v'amri la, yimashrei shemaisav. Okay, different ways. You should investigate your ways. You should make an accounting of your ways. Now that we're here, it's kind of b'di'evid that we're here. That's what they concluded. But if we're here, we might as well try to make it work. What's the most basic problem with this Gemara? It's the most simple question. Don't think too much, either. What's the simple question?
That's the answer, then why should I make it?
Right. God created us. How could you vote, better not to be here, that the greatest rabbis of the generation spent 2.5 years, this was the sugya for 2.5 years, be'ilun. This was the only sugya they learned. Should we be here or not? And finally they decided, okay, 2.5 years, it's a long time to cast the votes. We vote, better not to be here. What do you mean? Hashem created us. How could you vote for such a thing? So explains the Vilna Gaon in this commentary on Sefer Yonah, the second source on the page. Does anybody know how the Vilna Gaon Sefer on Yonah works? Velvel, you know how it works. Right? The Vilna Gaon explained Sefer Yonah as being, Safno Zosa, that is what? It's an allegory, right? Yonah was a real person. I just want to be very clear about this. Yonah was a real person. The story of Yonah actually happened. It's a historical reality. But on a deeper level, Yonah also is telling us a story of a neshama being sent to this world. Right, remember the story of Yonah? Yonah is told to go to Nineveh to tell them to do tshuva. And Yonah says, I don't want to do it. He tries to run away from God. And he ends up being swallowed by a fish. He goes on a boat. He gets thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish. Eventually he comes to Nineveh and gives them the musar that they're supposed to receive. But the Vilna Gaon explains it allegorically that Yonah is the neshama. And the neshama is terrified of being sent on its mission in this world. And the neshama tries to run from its mission in this world. And the Vilna Gaon, in a brilliant way, goes through every pasuk. I think there's 48 pasukim in Yonah. He goes through every pasuk carefully explaining Yonah is the neshama, right? And what is the boat? And what is the fish? And what is the... And again, in very, very succinct Vilna Gaon language. One of the easiest pieces in the whole Sefer to read is the one that's on the page in front of you, and it's not so easy to read. So the Vilna Gaon quotes this Gemara. Right? Is it better to exist or better not to exist? And he writes, take a look in the fifth line, end of the fifth line, Dekasha, Heich efshar lomar shetov yoser, im kein lama nivra. Right? Very simple question. Eliot's question and the Vilna Gaon's question. What's the question? How could you say it's better not to exist? If so, lama nivra. So then why did God make us? What are we doing here? No? Simple question. And then the Gemara says, Achshav shenivra, so now that we exist, we might as well try to work it out. So what's that about? Now that we exist, we should investigate our ways. What does it mean? Investigate our ways, what does that mean? So the Vilna Gaon says, you know what this actually is talking about? And it's really the continuation of what we learned yesterday. How do Gilgulim work? So we learned yesterday that if a person fails to finish his mission, so your soul has to be reincarnated, has to try again. It's not doing exactly the same thing it did last time. It's trying to fix the part that didn't work out last time. And it's not exactly the same soul. It's related in some way to your previous existence. So the Vilna Gaon says that's what they were debating. Is it better to come to this world more than once or better not to? They concluded after 2.5 years, it's better not to have to come here twice. You could argue it's a schus to be here. It's a great thing to be here. It's a great opportunity to be here. Hayom la'asosam, u'machar l'kibol schar. The Vilna Gaon himself was on his deathbed on Chol HaMoed Sukkos crying over the fact that when I die, I can't do mitzvahs anymore. So maybe it's great to come back around I should keep coming back to this world. More opportunities to score points, to serve God. They voted after 2.5 years. It's very complicated in this world. It's better not to. Hashem sent you once. Halavai, get the job done and get out of here. It's very dangerous in this world. Better not to be here. But once you're here, meaning once you've been sent back again, you better think very carefully about what did I do wrong last time and how can I get it right this time? Right? Because it's not good to constantly be calling back to this world. That's the Torah outlook on Gilgal. Gilgal is not a schus. Gilgal is a form of punishment. It's terrifying. If you read the Vilna Gaon, the first parak of Yonah, the neshama is so scared to come to this world. The neshama is being taken away from Kisei HaKavod, a world of clarity, of purity, of truth, and being sent to a world of sheker and darkness. The neshama is so scared to come to this world. It begs Hashem not to send it on the mission. So they voted after 2.5 years, they said that it's better not to be here. We do, or what we maybe did, if we could figure it out from a previous lifetime, figure out what should I do this time, get better. So look what he writes, four lines from the bottom. Five lines from the bottom, end of the line. V'heichi yada masha kilkel mikotem. So how do you figure out what you messed up last time? That's our question. How do I get it better, right? The assumption, by the way, of the tzaddikim is that we're all Gilgulim. It's reasonable to assume we've all been to this world in some way, shape, or form previously. Okay, so now that we're living this reality, so how do we do better? How do we try to do better? So the Vilna Gaon says, Yesh al zeh beiz simonim. There are two ways to clarify this. Aleph, b'mash nichshol ba b'gilgul hazeh harbe pa'amim. Look at the things that you're stumbling in. If you're struggling in something, that's probably the area you need to fix. Now you'll say that's not such a big chiddush, but it is. You know why? It's a chiddush in terms of how human beings act. What do we like to do? People like to be in their comfort zone. So if I find davening boring, you know how I overcompensate for the fact that I don't like davening very much? I try to like get really into learning. So that way I don't feel so bad about the fact that my davening stinks. My davening stinks and I know it's going to be like a lot of work to change it. Yeah? I'm an angry person. And I constantly get into troubles in life because I'm an angry person. But I know that fixing my anger problem is going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of cheshbon and nefesh. Maybe to find myself a good therapist, a good rebbe to help me to work through it. To learn the svarim about it, and it makes me uncomfortable to confront it, because it means I have to acknowledge that I have a problem. So you know what I do? I give a lot of tzedakah. So overall, when I look at myself in the mirror, I can say, you know, I'm a pretty good guy. I give a lot of tzedakah. It's true. I have a really bad midah, but I can kind of ignore it because, you know, I give a lot of tzedakah. So the Vilna Gaon says, that which you're stumbling in a lot, right? Al yizdeiz v'al zeh amru yifashresh v'maisav. Yifashresh v'maisav means pay attention to your actions. The thing that you're running away from is probably your mission statement. That's what he said. And in answer to our question, how do you find your tafkid? The thing that's really hard for you to fix is probably the thing that you're supposed to be fixing. The thing that you're really good at, you know why you're good at it? Because you already fixed it in your last lifetime. So it comes naturally to you. You were sent back with a natural ability to be good at it because you already perfected that. So that's why it's coming so easily to you. Don't overcompensate and just immerse yourself in your comfort zone. Yifashesh v'maisa, investigate your ways and catch the problems and say, you know what, I'm going to deal with them head on. That's Aleph. Beis. Be'eza aveira nafsho chashkalo ma'od. Lefi shahurgala mikodem v'nasa teva. Now the second point seems to contradict what I said a second ago, but he says the avera that you're drawn towards, the avera, the thing that's very tempting to you, tempting for you, may not be the thing that you're doing a lot, right? But the area that you feel a strong taiva for, again, you may have a strong taiva for it because you stumbled in it in a previous lifetime. So again, I know I just said two contradictory things. There might be some things that come easy to you in this lifetime because you perfected it in the last lifetime. There might be certain habits that are carrying over from the previous lifetime And therefore, now is, you know, a new opportunity to try to fix it. But in short, what the Vilna Gaon is suggesting as the first way for us to try to figure out what should I be focusing on, you shouldn't run away from the things that are hard for you. And you shouldn't try to overcompensate by just immersing yourself in those areas that come easy to you. Okay? Recognize those averos that are tempting to you. Recognize those areas that you're repeatedly stumbling in. And face it head on. Because that's probably what you're here to fix. This is similar to a piece in Likutei Moharan that I mentioned at the end of last semester on the words in Tehillim in source number 3. Tzofer Rasha Litzadik Umavakesh Lahamiso. The Pasuk says that the Rasha is looking, Tzofer, the Rasha is looking for the Tzadik and he wants to destroy him. But Rabbi Nachman, in the very beautiful insight, says, you know what a Tzofer is? It's not just that the Rasha is looking for the Tzadik to destroy him. The Rasha, your Yetzer Hara, can be a tzofa, can be a lookout for the Tzadik. What's a lookout? If you're in war, yeah, let's take like, you know, kind of an ancient war, yeah? Before you had the technology to, you know, with satellites up in the sky, right? But you had people positioned in high watchtowers with binoculars waiting to see which direction the enemy is going to attack. That's called a tzofa. So what does the Pasuk mean when it says, Tzofe Rasha Letzadik? The Rasha is the lookout? The Rasha is the watchman? And the answer is yes. How does the Rasha, how does the Yitzhahara help me to identify my mission? How is he helping me to have clarity what I'm trying, where the battlefront is? Wherever he's attacking the most. He's telling you, this is what you need to work on. You hear? So in a certain sense, while the Yetzirah is trying to destroy you, he's also helping you. He's showing you this, stop running away from this thing. You need to work on this thing. I'm going to keep pursuing you because this is what you're supposed to be fixing. Perish. Masher Rishayim Osim Yisurim LeTzadikim. Verod Femes LeTzadikim. Right? That which the Tzadik is struggling with. That which the Tzadik is suffering from. Zasiba Me'es Hashem Yisbarach. This is orchestrated by God. By Hashem, Kadesh is bonin hatzadik v'yafashesh v'maisef. Hashem is just trying to point you in the right direction. That's why you're struggling so much in this thing. Don't ignore it and run away from it and try to overcompensate with a different area of avodas Hashem. Realize that the Yitzhar is bothering you about it. The way that Eshes Potiphar bothered Yosef at tzadik, yom yom, the Pasuk says, day after day after day. What was wrong with this woman? She couldn't find anyone else to... You know, there was no other handsome guy in all of Mitzrayim. Yosef wasn't interested. Why did she keep coming back at Yosef? You know why? Hashem was forcing her to, in a certain sense. Because Yosef was meant to become a tzaddik. And the way that Yosef would become a tzaddik would be by what? By resisting Eshes Potiphar. And therefore she was what? She was unrelenting in her desire to get to him. Until he confronted that on that day of confrontation, Vayihi Hayom, as the Pasuk says. And Yosef made the right choice and he became a tzaddik. So the fact that the Yetzirah is tormenting you and chasing you and pursuing you, that's a sign that that's your avodah. Don't run away from it. That's number one. Yeah.
When it comes to the avos, like, you see what they show or not. For instance, like, when you say that Yosef and tzaddik, like, struggled with, like, Tivus of Brismila because he overcame it. So then, is it easier to identify a Gilgal of the avos than...
I feel like it's easier to see it in regard to the others. Precise recording of the history that we need to know in order to analyze it, right? Meaning it's much harder for us in real time to yifashrei shemaisav, to make an accounting of our actions. Sometimes, unfortunately, we're too busy looking the other way until we make an honest, you know, like the Kotzker said, Vayigashe love Yehuda. Vayigashe love Yehuda doesn't mean when Yehuda steps up to confront Yosef, it means Vayigashe love Yehuda, when a Jew confronts himself. So yeah, this is hard stuff. That's why a lot of people don't get it right. It's much easier to overcompensate and just stay in my comfort zone instead of really working on something and fixing something, whatever that Yetzirah may be. Okay, but this is technique number one. Confront the challenges of life head on, because the thing that you're struggling with, as much as it would be convenient to avoid it, and say, no, maybe I should do this other thing because I'm really good at this other thing, you're running away from your tafkid if you do that. And eventually you're going to feel empty because you're avoiding your mission statement. Okay? A second technique. The bottom of side one of the page. Comes with a sefer, Madregas HaAdam, from the altar of Novardik. One of the great Bali Musar, passed away in the year 1919, I believe. Early part of the 20th century. And in the very back of the sefer, in the back of the Madregas HaAdam, which talks about a lot of things, talks a lot about Bitachon, the altar of Novardik himself, his personal story is remarkable. His personal transformation is remarkable. In the back, there's these little, like, you know, one or two liners, things that he used to say. So he had an amazing line that he used to say, and I think you could use it in the context of today's share. Just look at the bottom line inside one of the page. Chayav Adam Lizroa Bechol Makom Ulesim Ein Bioser B'makom Shetzomeach. A person is obligated. Again, these ideas are not mutually exclusive. You'll see there's a lot of overlap, and there's sometimes contradiction, and each of us has to figure out what our right combination is to figure out ourselves. Chayiv Adam Lizroa B'chol Makom. Plant. A person is obligated to plant everywhere. Put seeds in the ground in a lot of different places. And then, Sim Ayin B'yoser, pay close attention to the Makom Shetzomer. Pay attention to the place that grows the best. Pay close attention to what grows the best. Now you'll tell me this is an exact contradiction to what we just said a second ago. Right? We just said a second ago, don't just go to your comfort zone, to the thing that you're good at. Work on the things that you're not so good at. Says the altar in the Vardik, but there's another problem. Let's focus on the first part of his statement. What's the first part of his statement? Chayiv Adam Lizroa B'chol Makom. A person needs to plant in all sorts of places. What does that mean? Sometimes, getting stuck in our comfort zone is not just about I'm staying where I feel comfortable in Avodas Hashem and I'm ignoring, you know, my Yetzer Hara and my struggle, etc. But sometimes I have a very limited understanding of what Hashem means. Let's say my father, a great Talmud Chacham. Father is a world famous Talmud Chacham. And my image of my father is always learning Torah. So there's a danger for that child of that great Talmud Chacham to think that my mission in this world is to be exactly like my father, is to become a great Talmud Chacham. Now, maybe this child has remarkable abilities when it comes to chesed, or it comes to tefillah, or it comes to some other thing. And obviously there's a limited amount of time and energy and life and resources. You can't be everything. Right? So he might get stuck trying to be too much like his father because that was his model of an Eved Hashem. And for his father, maybe that was the right thing. For himself, maybe not. So the Altar of Novardik says, make sure you plant seeds in a lot of different places. Make sure you try to get out of your own Dalet Amos, because you might be the best version of, you know, what you know to what you think Avodas Hashem is, but it could be your Avodas Hashem is something totally different. Rav Leibla Eger, the grandson of Rabbi Akiva Eger, chose a very different path than his grandfather by becoming a Hasidus Rebbe. That was not his. Now again, this is not just about like breaking ties with your family and you know rebelling against your parents and grandparents. But you have to be a little bit experimental, obviously within a framework of halacha, but you have to experiment a little bit in the Avodas Hashem. The sefer that your Rebbe is really excited about may or may not be a sefer that you're really excited about. There's that danger of just following, you know, the path that you're being led upon and not saying, you know, I just want to like, I have to try this out a little bit just to see what it is. I always think of the time that when I was teaching in TABC, before I came to IU, that we took a group of seniors to New Square for Shabbos. Now, for modern Orthodox kids, that was very out of their comfort zone to be in Square for Shabbos. And most of the guys didn't want to come. And me and one other rabbi, like, we begged them, like, just come, it'll be, like, at least it'll be interesting. And they're like, no, we're going to be bored, it's weird, it's like, we're not going to have anything to talk to them about, they're just going to stare at us. the guys, like, we begged a group of guys to come. I think we took like 12 guys in the end, a couple of Rebbeim, and the guys loved it. It was such a different Shabbos experience for them. Now, no one from that group became a Skver Chassid, as far as I know, right? But that was an important experience. Right? That's an important experience. To be able to see, hold on a second, you know, like I only know what going to shul on Shabbos looks like for a modern Orthodox kid. What does it look like for a person who mamish lives in a Hasidish community? Right? That was really important. For myself personally, that was a very important Shabbos in my life. Right? Again, I didn't say, wow, this is it. I'm changing paths now, and I'm going to become a Sker Chassid. But I took something from that experience, and had I never gone, you know, down that path, I may not have found something that I can apply to my mission statement in this world. So I think that's what the Altar of Novartica is saying. Don't just stay in your comfort zone in terms of what you know or what you think Avodas Hashem is. Avodas Hashem means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Get out there, try different things, and maybe you'll find, you know what? I never thought I could be, you know, this type of Jew. And the truth is, now that I'm there, I feel that this is exactly where my neshama belongs. Okay, but if I never, you know, if I always, you know, make a right turn out of the building instead of a left turn, I never go in that other direction for a couple of minutes, there may be something right around the corner from me that's so important to me that I never walk into. I never have an encounter with. Okay, so make sure that you try to understand Avodas Hashem in a broad way so that you don't, again, limit your options in terms of figuring out what you're supposed to do. Okay, a third technique. And this is a very important technique, and what you would expect to come from the world of Chabad, certainly the way that we see Chabad on the world's stage today. Yeah. Right.
We're combining them by saying what we were just talking about.
So again, a little bit the Vilna Gaon saying, don't avoid the things that are hard. Right? But if you're seeing success in a certain area, that might also be a sign to you to continue, like kind of like the Kedushas Levi, you know. If you're into it, then Hashem's probably going to be into it. And you may not know if you're into it until you try it. So he's saying, try things. Be open to trying different things. Try to daven in a different way. Right, go to a different shul. See, you know, you may decide like, wow, I never knew what davening was. I never knew what Shabbos was. I never knew what learning looks like. I never experienced what this mitzvah could be. So visit, talk to different people, learn from different rebbeims, study different svarim, have different experiences, and see how it resonates with your soul. Yeah. Right.
So there, Zoreh is parallel to Lomit. So maybe what you could say based on that, what the author is saying is that learn about everything.
Totally. Right, learn about everything.
And then once you see what works for you.
Right.
Good.
Right. Right, because the thing that's most important to you might be right around the corner, and you never branch out. You never try it. Yeah.
You know, it's a controversial or different question, but what's the difference between modern Orthodox and Orthodox? Like, what does modern Orthodox change from a regular Jew?
I don't like labels. And I'm definitely not going to answer that question right now. But we could talk about that more. We could talk about that. There shouldn't be any changes. It's a very loaded question. Can we leave it on the side for now? I'm happy to try to talk that out. But all these labels can mean a million different things. Like I said, from Rav Kook, it's just better to stay away from labels. They help in a certain sense to define. That's why I use the term, because it defines a certain type of outlook that maybe people have, or not. I don't know. We can talk about it, but let's leave it for now. Okay, for the sake of time. Okay, but I'm not ignoring your question. Okay, fine. The Alter Rebbe was once approached by a Chassid who was complaining to him about his inability to figure out what his thing is in this world. What am I supposed to do in this world? And the Alter Rebbe had a statement that he said to this Chassid, which is a very different way of looking at this whole sugya. A person is trying to figure out, you know, what am I supposed to do in this world? What do I need to achieve my mission? A lot of I, a lot of me in that sentence. Right? As you know, especially the last Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, was very focused on not only helping oneself, but being Makarev of the whole world, Jew and non-Jew alike. But that was not something that Lubavitcher Rebbe made up. That was something that other tzaddikim of Lubavitch had as a focal point of turning Judaism outward. Title of a biography that came out a couple of years ago on the Lubavitcher Rebbe. So in the Likutei Diburim, on the top of side two of the page, this is the journal, like the diary entries of the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, the Rebbe Rayatz. He mentions in part what happened that day when the Alter Rebbe was speaking to that Jew who was complaining, how do I find my mission, Rebbe? What do I need to achieve my mission in this world? So the Rebbe said, you're looking at the question totally wrong. On a number of occasions, we have recounted the words of the Alter Rebbe to a certain eminent chassid. You are saying everything that you need. As to what you are needed for, you say nothing. Meaning, maybe the way to find your mission in this world is not so much about looking inwardly, what do I need, what makes me feel good, what works internally for my neshama, but to actually look out the window and look at the world and say, you know what my mission is? You know why I exist now in the year 2019? You know why I'm alive here in Tufshin Ayin Tes? You know why? Because there's something that's happening in Tufshin Ayin Tes that my neshama can fix. And if I'm looking inwardly, I may not find it. If I look outside, I look beyond my Dalet Amos, and I ask myself, what am I needed for? That's how you find your tafkir. Not what do I need, what makes me feel good, or what seems internally right, but what am I needed for? What can I fix? What's happening in the world that I can get out there? What skills do I have to make the world a better place, to bring more Kvod Shemayim, to bring the world closer to Mashiach? It's not about what you need. Right, the Alter Rebbe said, "Is to what you're needed for, you say nothing. You're not asking about what do I need. You're not asking the question." Right? A light that utterly permeated him, as the early Hasidim used to express it, it permeated him so intensely that it ignited his toenails. Mamash lit him on fire. A totally different way of looking at one's mission statement. Well, what do I need? Right. But to get out of your own Dalet Amos and say the world has a lot of issues. There's got to be something out there that I feel confident that I can fix. I can be metaken. Go out there and do it. Yeah.
I mean, first of all, it seems that that's, I guess, based on each generation. There's always different needs, but there's not, I don't think, one need. Like, for example, if you already mentioned Bob Rebbe, his, I guess, niche was that he felt that he needed to bring the world closer at a time where everyone was very, like, silent, it was a very fragile state after the Holocaust, the Shoah. But then, in that same generation, when maybe the thing was we need to bring closer and bring more people in. The Rav Soloveitchik, wasn't his role. His role was he was gonna pask in halacha and kind of start a different movement. And then Rosh Feinstein.
It's gonna be a lot of things. There's always gonna be a lot of things. That's why. You have to ask yourself of the many broken things in the world, what do I have the ability to fix? That means a lot of different things. There's a Gemara. It may be a it could be it's in the Bavli and in the Yerushalmi and Brachos, that it says that at a time, it's I'm pretty sure it has like a similar expression in both places, that when people scatter, you should gather, and when people gather, you should scatter. Which I think in the Bavli, it's more clear it's talking about like learning. Like if people are like just learning for themselves, make sure you teach others. And if people are like focused on teaching others, make sure there's some people who are just sitting and shtagging, you know? So that's Chazal's way of saying there has to be a balance. There always has to be a balance.
So it's really
you need people who sit and just learn Torah, Yom HaValayla. You need people doing outreach.
Are you saying it's a connection between technique number two and technique number three, really?
Like, in some ways, yeah.
Technique number two is focusing on yourself. What are your best attributes? Technique number three is taking those attributes and applying them,
figure out of the many things that, that you're talented. The talents that you have to figure out what is most important for you to use in bettering the world. Yeah.
Can it just be said like the most simple shot that like all of the rubbish religious, like that the world was created for me, and like I did not see the world the same way you're seeing it. So like, meaning you could have the dolem and all that like one's doing this and one's doing something else, but just because everyone's seeing the world in a different way.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking as you're saying it. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? I thought you were thinking what I was thinking. Sometimes Yoni and I think the same thing. I was thinking maybe like according to this pshat of the Alter Rebbe, the way to understand, right, Chayav Adam Lomar, that the world was Nivra, right, Lo Nivra Olam Ela Bishvili, to say that the whole world was created for me, which sounds like I'm the center of the universe, right? I have to focus on my. You could say it the other way. You could say the whole world is my responsibility, right? The world was created Bishvili. It's my job to look at the world and figure out what's broken and try to fix it. That's how I figure out, you know, my world is based on the world around me. Okay, so that's a third technique. So much, instead of asking yourself, you know, what do I need, what do I want, what makes me feel right, but to turn outward and ask the question outwardly. Okay, let's do a fourth technique and then a fifth idea that maybe turns the whole sugya on its head. A fourth idea is found in the Netziv's writings on Chumash. Actually, I just realized there's a typo on the page. I wrote Parshas Beshalach. It's supposed to be Parshas Shlach. Right. What the Netziv is trying to do is to reconcile a pasuk in Parshas Shlach that you know Baal Peh, because you say it every day in Shema, and a pasuk in Koheles. What does the pasuk say in Shlach, in the third parak of the third paragraph of Kriya Shema? Lo sasur achrei levavchem v'achrei neichem. Don't stray after your heart. But Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles, you can see in the second source on side 2 of the page, Shlomo HaMelech says, in Koheles Perek Yud Aleph, Smach b'chur b'yaldu secha, v'yativcha libcha, b'mei b'chur osecha, v'haleich b'darche libcha. What does Shlomo HaMelech say? V'haleich b'darche libcha. What does that mean? Go in the way of your heart. Follow your heart. Hold on a second. When I said Shema this morning, I said, be careful, lo sasuru achrei levavchem. Don't stray after your heart. So the Netziv of Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, Rosh Yeshiva of the Volozhin Yeshiva, late 19th century, the Netziv said, hold on a second. How do I reconcile these two phrases? Should I follow my heart or should I not follow my heart? Should I trust my intuition or should I not trust my intuition? How do I balance the two? So the Tziv writes in the Hamak Davar, it's a Sefer on Chumash in Parsha Shlach, he says the following. It's very powerful. V'nimtza perish v'haleich b'darchei libcha. What is the pshat? What did Shlomo HaMelech mean when he said, follow your heart? Lefi she'ein hiluch avodas Hashem b'tmidus shal kol b'nei adam shavim. The Tziv was very much an individual thinker. He was an out-of-the-box kind of Jew. As much as in many ways he was a classic Rosh Yeshiva, he was a posek, he wrote Shalos and Chuvos. The fact that he wrote a commentary on Chumash from beginning to end shows you that he was a little bit different. Most of the, you know, classic Gedolim didn't write commentaries on Chumash. They wrote Chidushim on Shas, maybe they wrote in Halacha, Sugyas. They didn't usually write a running commentary on Chumash. And you could see that the Tziv was an out-of-the-box thinker, a poetic soul, someone who clearly would have influenced Rav Kook in his time in Volozhin. He wasn't just a lamdan in the classic sense of a yeshivish lamdan. So the Netziv says, what does it mean, v'haleich b'darchei libcha? He says, the way that a person walks in avodas Hashem is not the same by all people. Ze'o seik b'torah v'amala kol hayom. One person studies Torah, and maybe he does it all day long. V'ze'o porish atzmo la'avodah. Right? The fact that a Rosh Yeshiva would acknowledge the fact that not everyone's meant to be a future Rosh Yeshiva is already, you see, is a little out of the box. Some Rosh Yeshiva, their only hope and desire, l'chachila for the Talmidim, is that everyone should be a Rosh Yeshiva. And it says, no. Some people are meant to be emphasizing Torah, some people avoda, some people chesed, v'akol l'shem shamayim. It could all be what is expected of them, and they can all do it with the utmost pure intent. And when it comes to learning Torah, he writes in the third line, not everyone learns the same way. Some people prefer to learn more bekiyus, some people learn more be'iyun. Some people emphasize halacha, some people emphasize tanach, some people emphasize lamdus, some people emphasize machshava. There's different types of learning. V'gam b'maisa ha-mitzvos. Even when it comes to mitzvos, the Gemara says in Shabbos, in Parakol Kisvei, Avucha b'may zahir tvei. Such an important Gemara. Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, the Gemara asked the question, what was your father particular about? What was his main mitzvah? What kind of question is that? What's your main mitzvah? I love all the mitzvahs. Yeah, but come on, everyone has a mitzvah that they feel really connected to. Right? That they're just interested in more than other mitzvahs. Doesn't mean I don't like other mitzvahs. So the Gemara asked the question, what was your father's main mitzvah? Right? What was he particular about? I'm sure if I went around the room right now and asked you, what's your favorite Yom Tov? So it'd be different, there'd be different feelings. Right? We all love Purim, and we all love Hanukkah, we all love Sukkot, we all love Pesach, we all love Yom Kippur, and we all love all the Yom Tovim. But some people say, you know, Hanukkah, I feel, you know, so connected there. Pesach, the Seder, that's the ultimate for me. People have different feelings. Tziv says a person has to trust his intuition. Sometimes you just have to trust your gut. Lo sasur achrei levavcha means don't be an idiot. Right? Lo sasur, don't stray after your heart. There has to be some checks and balances. You can't allow your heart to just run wild. But there is a deep spiritual truth, says the Netziv, to trusting your intuition. He quotes the Gemara that says, in the last line, just look at the last line, right? He says, Mashalibo nimshach achrav, bar shemazlo chazi, kize inyan tov lefi koach nafsham. Sometimes you're mazel, sometimes you're neshama, sometimes without being able to explain it, you're just drawn in a particular direction. And then Netziv says, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, to a certain degree, you have to be able to trust them. So you want to sit down with someone and ask them, you know, how am I going to figure out my purpose in this world? It's a very hard question to ask someone else because only you can kind of feel it out. You can internally feel. He's quoting again, he's paraphrasing the Gemara at the beginning of Maseches Megillah that says, sometimes, afagav di'ihu lo chazi, things that you can't see, mazlayu chazi, your mazel can see, your neshama can see. Sometimes you have to trust your intuition. Shlomo HaMelech says over there in Koheles that trust your heart, follow your heart, realize the end of the sentence is realize there's accountability for it. And that's why the Netziv is writing this in Parsha Shlach, Lo sasuru achrei levavchem. Don't be an idiot. Don't stray after your heart. Think about what you're doing, but also trust your gut a little bit. If you're being pulled in a certain direction, maybe your neshama is pulling you in that direction because that's your tafkid in this world. Okay, so very quickly to recap, and then we'll get to the final point. We've seen a couple of different techniques to figure out our tafkid. Right, we started again with the medrash that says that animals have a tafkid and they're seeking their tafkid, and trees have a tafkid, and the dirt, inanimate objects, stones, the road has a tafkid. So how do we try to figure it out? So the Vilna Gaon said, maybe try to confront some of the challenges. Like Rabbi Nachman said, allow your Yetzirah to be a tzofet, to be a lookout for you, to be a watchman for you, to point you in the right direction. We saw the Madrega Sa'adim, the altar of the Vardik, who said, make sure that you're experimental in your Yiddishkeit. Obviously, again, within a framework of halacha. But try different things. You may not know what your thing is in Avodas Hashem because you never tried it. Then we saw the approach of the Alter Rebbe, where he told the Chassid, stop asking about what you need and look at your world around you and try to figure out what's broken in the world, what do you need it for, why do you exist now, there's a reason you're alive at this time. And then it's Siv, who says, in a sensitive way, we can strike a balance between Shlomo Melech Svahalech B'darchei Libcha and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah is saying, Lo Sasur Achrei Levavchem, don't stray after your heart. Follow your heart, but don't stray after your heart. Trust your intuition, but do so cautiously. Okay, here's the punchline to this year. The punchline to this year is that sometimes in life, we get very overwhelmed in trying to figure out our tafkid. Because we think about it in this very broad kind of way. We think that I have a tafkid, a very specific tafkid. Again, like that tag that I described attached to your toe on the day that you're born, saying, this is your mission, and you have to achieve this very specific thing at this very specific time, and then your life will have been justified. But the truth is, a tafkid is sometimes changing from one day to the next. Like we learned yesterday, Hashem doesn't do the same thing twice. Every second is a unique moment in time, like the Arizal taught us yesterday. So it could be that the way to figure out your tafkid is not to look at your entire life and say, okay, God, what's the big picture for my life? That might not be the right way to look at it. Maybe the right way to look at it is to break it down into moments and say, what does this moment demand of me? Using, again, all these techniques, all the different techniques that we just learned. But what does this moment demand of me? The Chafetz Chaim is quoted by one of his Talmidim Muvhakim. One of the famous students of the Chafetz Chaim was known by the name of Shlomo Bloch. So there's a sefer called Hatzadik Rav Shlomo. In the sefer, this line is printed in Yiddish, so I'm just going to tell it to you outside. But the Chafetz Chaim explained the psukim in the second to last source in Parshas Ekev. What does it say in Parshas Ekev? Very scary psukim. And look how the Chafetz Chaim, in his very sweet way, turned the whole thing on its head. What does the pasuk say? Va'ata Yisrael ma Hashem Elokecha shol me'imach. Right? Now, Jewish people, what is it that God asks of you? All I'm asking, says Hashem, is what? Kiyim liyiras Hashem Elokecha, to fear God, lelechas b'chol derachav, to walk in all of His ways, ula'avo so, and to love Him, v'la'avodas Hashem Elokecha, and to serve Him, b'chol levavcha, u'v'chol nafshecha, and to serve Hashem with all your heart and all your soul. All I'm asking of you is what? Fear of Hashem, love of Hashem, do every mitzvah, do it with all your heart. That's all I'm asking. No big deal. No big deal. Sounds like a pretty big deal. L'shmur as mitzvahs Hashem, v'eschukosa, v'asher anochi mitzav chayom l'tovla. Nah, just do everything. What's the big deal? So the Gemara jumps on this and says, what do you mean, what's the big deal? That's a big deal. You're asking me to be a perfect Jew. Love God and fear God and do all the mitzvos and do it with all your heart and all your soul. That's a really big deal. Very overwhelming. So Shlomo Bloch, the Talmud Muvhak of the Chavetz Chaim, said, one of the Talmudim Muvhakim of the Chavetz Chaim said, that his Rebbe told him, the Chavetz Chaim told him, no, here's how you learn the Pasuk. Va'ata Yisrael, ma Hashem Elokecha shol me'imach. You know what Hashem is shol me'imach? You know what Hashem asks of you? What is it? Ma Hashem Elokecha shol me'imach. What does God ask of you? You know what He asks of you? One word. Va'ata. Va'ata Yisrael. You know what I ask of you? Don't be overwhelmed by the entirety of life. You know what I'm asking of you? Va'ata, right now. Can you right now make the right choice? Because we get so nervous, like, what if I'm on a path that's going to lead to, like, the wrong choices? So the Chafetz Chaim says, well, you don't have to, like, pick now and figure out your whole life. You have to ask yourself, what is expected of me in this moment right now? Should I be in shir? Should I still be sleeping in bed? Should I be, I don't know, should I be visiting old ladies in a nursing home? Right? Right now. It may be different. What I'm supposed to be doing in a half hour from now might be different. Right? Maybe not. Maybe in a half hour from now I'm supposed to choose the same thing, to continue to learn Torah. Right? Or maybe not. But to be able to ask yourself in any given moment, va'ata, that's all Hashem is asking of you. Right? In this moment, va'ata Yisrael, right now, Jew. Hashem is saying to each and every one of us, Yisrael, a fellow Jew. Right? What am I asking of you? Va'ata, right now. What is the main thing you should be doing right now? Forget what's going to be in 5 minutes from now. But can you do what Hashem wants you to do right now? And I conclude with a letter from Rav Mordechai Gifter that he wrote when he was 20 years old. Okay? So there's someone your age writing a letter. Rav Mordechai Gifter was born in Virginia, traveled by boat to Tells in Lithuania. Imagine, a kid born in Virginia, Max Gifter. As a young child, went by Max Gifter. Of course, went on to become the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells, Rav Mordechai Gifter. Made it out of Europe in time and rebuilt Tells in America. And they put out a sefer a couple of years ago called Simchas Mordechai. Drashos and letters and shiurim and different things. And I found in there an amazing letter from the year Tafresh Tzadi Zion. From the year 1937. Mordechai Gifter was 20 years old, and he's writing to a friend who is probably, I don't know, 16 years old, and asking, you know, his, like, role model, Rav Gifter, who's, like, you know, the guy who went to NCSY Kollel 2 years before him, for advice. And one of the things he asked him in his letter is, like, Rebbe, how do you find, you know, Rebbe, how do you find your tachlis? How do you find your tafkid? So Rav Gifter wrote back to him, Hine kvodo kosev, final source. Hine kvodo kosev shenis odos shuvi labesi v'odos inyan tachlis. Bepam zu miyaches kvodo asatainos l'dodasi shetichya. Kamuvan sha'ani omed bedaiti ve'eni nasug achur klal v'klal. Right? He was challenging Rav Gifter. Again, I don't know exactly what the letter was, but it sounds like there was some type of challenge about the decisions that Rav Gifter was making in his life. Again, they were uncommon decisions for a young man born in Virginia in the early 1920s. He says, you're challenging certain decisions that I'm making. You're questioning certain decisions. You're wondering how one figures out how to make decisions. So let me tell you, how does a person achieve his tachlis? Just another word for tafkid, more or less. He says, kodem kol, tzricha lios berura ubihira. First of all, it needs to be very clear to you. Eitzel adam, and for every person, shebechlal ein rak tachlis achas ba'olam. It's not that there's like this one thing that you have to achieve in the world. Tachlis zohi kruya ratzon Hashem yisbal. What is the tachlis? What is the purpose of what I'm doing right now? Hopefully it's the ratzon. Could it be a giant mistake? Could be. Should I? That's my cheshbon hanefesh to make. And I have to continually assess it. Right? But a person has to ask himself, and it's very similar to what the Chofetz Chaim was saying, what is the Ratzon Hashem right now? That's the tafkid, that's the tachlis, that's the goal. The purpose is serving Hashem right now. And if I can say with confidence that what I'm doing is serving Hashem, and that could mean a lot of different things in a lot of different people in a lot of different circumstances at a lot of different moments in time, but if I can answer confidently that I'm not just doing what someone else is telling me to do, I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do, what my neshama, like the Netziv says, intuitively is telling me to do, with a sense of commitment, like the Alter Rebbe said, to the world around me, and not getting stuck in my own Dalai Amos because I'm trying out different things, like the Alter of Novartik said, and being able to confront my Yitzhahara straight on, and not just staying in my comfort zone, like the Vilna Gaon said, then I should be able, at the end of my life, to say, you know what, I found my tafkid. And it wasn't just one thing, it was a lot of va'atas along the way, a lot of moments of right now, did I do the right thing? Right now, did I make the right choice? Was I able to say that I lived my purpose? But again, knowing that a dog can do it, and knowing that a palm tree can do it, and knowing that a rock in the street can do it, so we have to believe that again, if we use these ideas, and we just stop and think, that's the ikkar is really just sitting down with yourself and saying, like, am I being honest with who I am and what I can achieve in this world? And Emir Tzoshem will all be zochet to achieve our tafkid in this world. Okay. Go for it. Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is surely everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. Here, there, where he can be found. Up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. Here, everywhere, that's where he can be found. Now, what inspired you to sing that song? Okay. Yeah. Ba'ata, Hashem is everywhere, every moment. Good. Good. See, you got out of your comfort zone just now. Usually Fuchs starts the songs or other couple other people. Good. Anyone's entitled to start a song here. Good.